I want to talk to you today in this Advent season as we look at connecting with God. I want to talk to you if you're somebody who's ever had a doubt, because I know deeply what that is like. And often people will feel like, well, I can't connect with God if I'm doubting. Actually, it's just the other way around. Your doubts don't need to be a barrier to connect you with God. They can actually be kind of a bridge. They can actually spur our minds. They were meant to play this role, to think deeper, more deeply, and to arrive at a better truth. And actually, there's a wonderful story of a doubter right in the middle of the Christmas story who plays a great role in the coming of Jesus. And that's what we're looking at today. So, this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. The angel Gabriel has come from God to talk to a man named Zechariah. Zechariah and his wife are old, very old. He's a priest, but they have no children. They're infertile, and that would mean that they were very low status. They were lowly regarded in that world. And yet, part of what's happening in the Advent season is God is turning things upside down, and he's elevating the lowly, and he does that here. And he says to Zechariah, you will give birth to a son. He'll be a joy and a delight and prepare people for God. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. He had been offering incense in the holy place. Well, when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. We'll also find out a little later in this chapter, as comes into this story, that he was deaf as well. When his son is finally born, people make signs to Zechariah to try to find out the kid's name, because apparently he couldn't hear either. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. So the angel comes, great good news, beginning of the whole redemptive plan of God in Jesus to this good man, Zechariah. But Zechariah can't believe it. He's filled with doubt. Notice something, too. I think if an angel appeared to me, I would be likely to say, well, you know, that pretty much settles the supernatural issue and the God issue. So I believe anything that you have to say to me. Apparently, there's something about the nature of an appearance to the angel, and this would happen quite often to characters in Scripture, that allowed room for question, doubt, ambiguity. We sometimes picture these scenes like a special effects moment in a movie or something, but apparently, the characters that would walk through these experiences did it in a way that had them remain human and still be filled with doubts and questions. It wasn't like what I will sometimes picture, and that's the case for Zechariah. Now, at times we'll think, if I have that problem, if I got doubts, I should just stop doubting. I should just try harder to believe. But that is not a good idea. That is a very destructive way to approach the notion of belief, because you cannot believe something simply by trying really hard to believe it. One of my favorite passages on this is from this book that I love. My dad used to read. It was a series of these books. This is Alice in Wonderland to us kids when we were little. And there's a passage in the book where Alice is talking to the White Queen. And the Queen asks, how old are you? And Alice says, I'm 7 1/2 exactly. You needn't say exactly, the queen remarked. I can believe it without that. Now I'll give you something to believe. I'm just 101 5 months in a day. I can't believe that, said Alice. Can't you? The queen said, in a pitying tone, "Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes." Alice laughed. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the queen. "When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." People sometimes think that faith is believing things that you know are impossible or not very likely. That is not the case at all. God gave you a mind to be able to discern truth. God loves truth. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. And we are to use our minds to try to seek and pursue truth. And that's a really good thing. So never deal with doubt by saying, "I got to try harder to have more faith in God, to believe I'm going to get this answer to prayer, to believe that this circumstance is going to turn out this way." No, no, no. The mind is a precious gift by God, and it does not operate by willpower. Now, I can use will to commit myself, and that's a real good thing, to seek to obey God, to surrender God, but never to try to get rid of doubt or make myself believe something. Actually, a really good question to ask yourself is, what do I want to believe? It's a strange truth about the mind. As a general rule, the mind will find a way to allow you to believe what it is that your will wants you to believe. There's a very good philosopher, a good communicator, Thomas Nagel. He himself is an atheist, although he does not believe in materialism. It's kind of a complicated view of things. But he wrote a very honest paragraph when it comes to belief in God. He said, "I want atheism to be true and am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God and naturally hope I am right in my beliefs. It's that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God, and I don't want the universe to be like that." So you might pause and reflect now. What do you want to be true? And here's what's going on with Zechariah when Gabriel comes to him and he finds himself unable to believe what Zechariah is saying. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Now you will be silent." People sometimes think that Gabriel is punishing Zechariah here for his lack of faith. And that may be so, although Gabriel never says that. It's quite interesting. Many places in the Old Testament, people will ask for a sign because they have doubts. God tells Gideon to take on the Midianites, and he asks for a sign, and his offering is consumed by fire. And then he asks for another sign about the fleece and the dewy or dry ground, and then asks God to reverse it. God does all that stuff. Moses says, "What if I do what you say and go to the people and they don't believe me?" And God gives him a sign with a staff. Very prominently, Abraham, when he's told he's going to have a son in Genesis 15, "How can I know that this is true?" And God gives him a sign. It's altogether possible that what Gabriel is doing here is he's doing Zechariah a wonderful favor. You know, if you go to a doctor and say, "I got a headache," even if it's your fault, you were reading in the car, the doctor might say, "Because you have a headache, take these 2 aspirin." He's not punishing you, he's helping you. And what's striking with Zechariah when you stop and think about it now is not what he doesn't do, what he can't do. He can't talk. He can't hear. That's true. What's striking is what he will do. He will now immerse himself in God's word to him and replay the message of Gabriel over and over and over in his mind. We're told when his time of service was complete, he returned home. So he continues on in the temple in his priestly service for some time, and he's just marinating in what is it that God is doing, and how do I connect that with everything I know from the Old Testament? And now I'm going to have a new role. Now I'm going to have a new task. Now I'm going to have a new child, and he is to be a joy and a delight, and he's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How will I parent this child? I'm going to have a new marriage. Think about this. The text says that he went back home, and after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. Remember, he's not just old, he's very old, and so is she. And their baby-making days, we would understand, are done. But when he goes home, somehow he has to communicate to Elizabeth, no, actually, they're not. You know, so we're going to have to be together. An angel told me it is God's will. He's got to do this with no words. And he finds a way. And then a child is born. And the next time we see Zechariah, at the end of the first chapter, we're told that he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesies, and he sings a song, partly to his son. You think about how often he would have sung this song to his son in the womb and then when he is born. And it becomes a part of Scripture. And all of that is what God is doing in Zechariah, in the stillness and the silence, in the great gift of those months. So today, remember the song of Zechariah. And every once in a while, as you go through this day, just take a moment to be still. They have an old colloquialism in the South when somebody is deeply surprised. Well, shut my mouth. And that's God's gift to Zechariah. And maybe to me today. And maybe to you today. Be still right now. Do you have doubts, questions? Just bring them to God. Be still. Are you uncertain what you really believe? Ask yourself, what do I want to believe? And then bring that to God. Do you have a disappointment like Zechariah did? Bring that to God. Do you have any joy today? Today, every once in a while, just stop and shut your mouth, you and me, and let us look for God. Let's allow the Word of God, the promise of God, joy, delight, rejoicing, good news, God with us. God is connected to me. God will be connected with me through my mind. God will bring thoughts, guidance, encouragement, support, love, hope, direction. But I gotta listen. Today's day to connect. Be still.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team here at Become New, and I live in Minnesota, so it's freezing where I am. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future teachings from John as we walk through the Christmas story a few verses at a time. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to find more teaching just like this. And if you've got a prayer request, please text it to us so we can pray for you. You can text it to the number 855-888-0444. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.